What is up, everyone? You're listening to the Gridiron Fantasy Football Podcast for Tuesday, December 1st, 2020. And I'm Chip, and I'm your host, and thank you so much for listening today. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for joining us as well. If you'd like to share our podcast, you can find us over on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. If you'd like to watch us, you can watch us over on YouTube at Gridiron Fantasy Football. So please do me a favor, hit subscribe, hit the bell so you don't miss any more episodes. And on today's episode, we're going to talk about all my top waiver wire pickups for week 13. And to be completely honest, it's very, very slim pickings now. You know, most of these players that are been consistent throughout the weeks have already been picked up. But just like anything else, players do get dropped. So there are some names that you might continue to hear, but it's because they're still available in a lot of leagues. So I just want to make sure that those names are out there so you have a better idea on who are the better options to pick up. But before I get into that, I want to talk about something that happened on Monday. So if you guys are used to watching me on YouTube, you notice that a video was not uploaded on Monday. And that is due because I've been having some issues with my editing software. For some reason, is unable to access that. And then I had to use a different software to record my video. And when I uploaded to YouTube, it only put up half the video. So I'm not sure what was going on with that. But if you want to listen to that podcast, it was, you know, my week 12 reactions on the Fantasy Studs. And you can still listen to that on the podcast platforms, if it's on Apple or Google Podcasts, wherever you listen. But it was still uploaded. It just was not given to you in the video version on YouTube. So I want to apologize about that. I'm hoping that there won't be any more issues. So if you're watching this on YouTube, thumbs up. That means that nothing else happened and I was able to upload it. So hopefully all the kinks are figured out. But I just want to apologize if you're waiting for that YouTube video on Monday. But just a frustrating thing, because sometimes I have no control over what happens. If things don't upload and YouTube's being goofy, I can't control that. But hopefully there won't be any more issues going forward. But now let's get into some of the news. And the biggest news of the day right now is the NFL finally figured out the schedule for the next week. The Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens game got pushed back until Wednesday. So right now, this is what the updated schedule is, because it just doesn't affect them. It affects multiple games. So on Wednesday, as of right now, the Ravens are going to play at the Steelers at 3:40 Eastern time on NBC. Then on Monday, 12/7, the Washington football team will be visiting the Pittsburgh Steelers at 5:00 Eastern time. And then on Monday, 12/7, the Bills are visiting the 49ers in Arizona. So now the 49ers have to play in Arizona. That game is still scheduled to play on time at 8:15 Eastern time. And then the Ravens game that was supposed to be on Monday night got pushed back to Tuesday night. So Tuesday, December 8th, the Cowboys will play the Ravens at 8:05 Eastern time. So those are the updated times for the games. This whole mess with COVID-19 has pushed back the Ravens and Steelers games from Thanksgiving. It got pushed back to Sunday. It got pushed back to Monday. It was supposed to be played on Tuesday. Now it's playing on Wednesday. Fingers crossed. So that is the news right now. But if you are a J.K. Dobbins or Mark Ingram owner, that means that on Wednesday, if the Steelers do play, you can play J.K. Dobbins or Mark Ingram. They have cleared the protocol. They had negative tests. So that means that they'll be available. Lamar Jackson won't be available. Willie Steele won't be available. Mark Andrews won't be available. But if you're able to figure out your issues with your league, because I know that some teams or some leagues do alternates for you. So if you're able to play somebody like J.K. Dobbins or Ben Roethlisberger, and that game's still played, you can still play those guys, but you have alternates that you choose. So hopefully that's the case. But if you want to play J.K. Dobbins or Mark Ingram, they're available to you if you haven't benched them and you move forward. So that's just good news if you're needing a running back for week 12. And then bad news out of Houston. Will Fuller announced on Instagram that he's been suspended 6 games due to violating the NFL's performance-enhancing substance abuse policy. So he said in his Instagram post that he took something that was unknown. Like, it was an unknown substance that wasn't sure that if it was banned by the league or not. But so he came back positive for PEDs, so he will not play the rest of the season. So sucks for Will Fuller fans, because he's having a great season. You know, he is not DeAndre Hopkins by any means, but he was definitely taking that number one wide receiver role, and he was doing very well. He's in a contract year with the Texans. So unfortunately, You know, I think he misses the rest of the season, I believe, if carries into one game next year. So if he doesn't stay with Houston and goes to a new team, that means that he'll be suspended for the first game next season. So we'll see how that plays out. And then good news out of Carolina, Panthers coach Matt Rhule said DJ Moore's ankle, the x-rays were negative, so he did not do any structural damage from a bone standpoint, so there wasn't any fractures, which is good news. Obviously, there's some soft tissue damage, so it seems like he'll be good to go in week 14 because they have a bye week in week 13, so you shouldn't miss any time with DJ Moore. And then Josh Jacobs, good news out with Josh Jacobs as well. He has some x-rays. They were negative. All the results came back from his imaging that were negative, so that means that he does have an ankle injury, but not enough where he's to keep him out for multiple weeks. There is a chance that he can play against the Jets in week 13, but it's still undetermined depending on how he handles his rehab and the recovery from today going forward. So that is the main news out of the NFL. So now let's go to the Monday Night Football recap. And so the Seahawks visited the Philadelphia Eagles, and this game was pretty dominant. The score suggests otherwise. I mean, the score was 23-17. The Seahawks won this game. And honestly, this game was not even close to what the score indicated. The Seahawks just pretty much dominated the Eagles' offense and didn't really do much. You know, Russell Wilson, you know, he had a quiet game. You know, they didn't have to do much today, but Russell Wilson still had a touchdown. He gave you a couple rushes, you know, some rushing yards on the ground, but overall, just a below average game from Russell Wilson. So he's going to have those from time to time. Carson Wentz, he had a better fantasy outing than Russell Wilson, but it was ugly. I mean, if you look at the box score, you look at the stats, I mean, that is not how that game looked. I mean, he had that Hail Mary at the very end of the game that gave him some more fantasy points, but ugly game from Carson Wentz. Coming to the running backs, Chris Carson, not a bad game from him. He was 8 for 41 on one touchdown. Now, Carlos Hyde did lead the backfield with 15 carries, but Chris Carson was the one who got the goal line carries and the touchdown. Carlos Hyde did have a touchdown, but it came back from a holding call. When it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles, Carson Wentz led the backfield with 5 carries for 42 yards. Let that sink in for a second. So I'm going a little rant right now because I'm a little frustrated. I own Miles Sanders. I traded away James Robinson, and I have Miles Sanders and David Montgomery on my roster now. And Miles Sanders is a guy that every time I play him, he is awful. But every time I don't play him, he blows up. So if you're an Eagles fan or if you're a Miles Sanders fan, do you feel the same pain I do? Because Miles Sanders had 6 carries for 15 yards, and he gave you another 2 catches for 7 yards. Now, I know that he had a couple drop passes. Some plays came back due to penalties and all that. But to be honest, man, I mean, the announcers on ESPN kept on talking about how Miles Sanders is so dynamic and such a playmaker. I just don't understand why they continue to put Boston Scott in there. If Miles Sanders is such a good running back, which I do believe in Miles Sanders, he was one of my favorite players coming into the league. And getting him this year I was ecstatic that I got him in my auction league. But seeing how I haven't watched an Eagles game fully this whole season. Now watching the game now, I'm like, I can't watch this game. I can't see how. I just rather see the points being scored rather than seeing the game and seeing how many times he's coming off the field. But just a disappointing game for Miles Sanders. I mean, I hope that this changes. But I know the Seahawks defense did play well, so I don't want to give any, you know, discredit to them. But they, you know, the Seahawks did play well, so I'll give him that credit. But Miles Sanders, I hope that they're able to figure it out, because if he's as dynamic as people say, and I do think he's that dynamic, he needs to stay on the field all the time, and because he's a playmaker. So hopefully that changes. But I know the Eagles offense has been really just struggling. I haven't watched, like I said, I haven't watched an Eagles game, and watching that offensive line, is crap. Carson Wentz got sacked 6 times. And so that can't happen. Plays can't develop if that's the case, but just a bad outing from the Eagles offense from the backfield standpoint. And then going to the wide receivers, DK Metcalf, massive game. He was 10 for 177 on 13 targets. You can't stop them. You can't man cover him. You can't do anything other than just double team him. I mean, bigger corners have a better chance against him. Like Jalen Ramsey's a guy that continues to have success against DK Metcalf. And Darius Slay is not a guy that could stop DK Metcalf. I mean, this guy's just a man child, and he just makes people look just so much smaller and not as physical. So good game from DK Metcalf. Tyler Lockett, quiet game. He was 3 for 23, only on 4 targets. For the Eagles, Dallas Goedert, he was 7 for 75 and a touchdown on 10 targets. So he was the lead wide receiver for the Eagles. And I always felt like this was the guy that would benefit the most when he came back, because Carson Wentz likes his tight ends. You know, Dallas Goedert is a guy that can be a big mismatch. And I'm still kicking myself that I dropped him, because I needed some roster space to pick up another player. But, you know, it is what it is. But he, you know, hopefully Zach Ertz comes back and takes away a little bit from Dallas Goedert. So hopefully that's the case. But and Richard Rodgers had a touchdown. He had a Hail Mary catch at the very end of the game. So if you played him, which I don't see why you did, but if you had to, you got lucky at the very end of the game and got those points. But, you know, like I said, Boston Scott, he was 5 for 40. So he outscored Miles Sanders. Travis Fulgham, he was 2 for 16 on 2 targets. Alshon Jeffrey was 2 for 15 on 4 targets. And Jalen Reagor, he's 3 for 11 on 7 targets. So he was the second leader in target share this game, but just not a game that you're expecting out of him. The Seahawks have a, you know, very below average secondary. I was hoping this was going to be Jalen Reagor's breakout game, but it didn't happen. But hopefully it's coming soon, because the targets are there. But just overall, good game for the Seahawks. They go to 8-3, and the Eagles are now still trying to fight for some type of respect, and hopefully things break their way where they can win a division. But it seems very unlikely just based on how things are going. So with that being the case, let's jump into all the waiver wire pickups for week 13. And to start off, the 2 bye weeks that we have this week, we didn't have any bye weeks in week 12. Week 13, we have 2 teams. We have the Tampa Bay Bucks on a bye week, and then we have the Carolina Panthers on a bye week. So this is the last week of bye week. So after this, all the teams are playing. But to start off with the quarterback position for my top waiver wire pickups, I have Ryan Fitzpatrick here. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick took over for Tua because of a thumb injury that he sustained on his throwing hand in practice. Now, the coach did come out for Miami and said that if Tua is healthy, Tua is a starter. So we'll have to determine on how this will play out. And the good thing about what's going on this week about the waiver wires is that most leagues' waiver wires won't be processed until Thursday to Friday morning. So that means that we're going to know exactly participation in practice. If Tua is back to full participation, that means you don't pick up Ryan Fitzpatrick. So this is why practice reports are so important when it comes to waiver wire pickups. And usually when we do this, we don't know based on when we pick up waiver wire pickups on Tuesday night going into Wednesday morning. We really don't know who's going to be available. And so now with waiver wire pickups being delayed a couple of days, now we get to see, okay, who's going to be in and out for the week. We'll have a better indication. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's on my list, but he may not be a guy who you pick up because he may not even be a starter this week. But he's a guy that I would if he is available. I mean, he had 2 touchdowns against the Jets. Like I said in the podcast on Monday, I think that this Dolphins offense is better with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Tua is the future. There's no disputing that. But Ryan Fitzpatrick is the guy that I would want going forward in fantasy because it makes everyone else better. My second quarterback is Phillip Rivers. I know this is going to make some of you throw up in your mouth, but Phillip Rivers is 13% owned. However, he's been playing pretty well. He's averaging 22 fantasy points in the last 6 games. You know, that's based on the scoring system that I'm in, but that's not something to sniff about. That is something that gives you a decent floor. Now, the next 3 games, he plays Houston twice. So Houston gives up the most passing yards, total defense, everything. Like, they are awful on defense. And the Colts get them twice. Plus, they get Las Vegas in there. So Phillip Rivers could be a good streamer for the next couple of weeks. It's just one of those guys where, you know, he's a guy who's going to sling the ball. And he can give you 3 or 4 touchdown passes, or he gets you 1 touchdown pass and 2 interceptions. I mean, that's a risk you take, but he has a good setup for the next few weeks, especially if you need somebody right now to help you win, to help you get to the playoffs, or even win your first playoff game, because playoffs start in week 14. And if you don't have that bye week and you need a quarterback to stream, he may be a guy that you could look at. And then my last quarterback, this is not a guy that you're gonna start, but Jalen Hurts. So he's about 1.7% owned in fantasy leagues. When you hear smoke, there's going to be some truth to that. I know that they were talking about how Jalen Hurts was going to get more snaps. We didn't see that happen on Monday night. We saw that he did come in for a couple plays here and there. But if Carson Wentz continues to struggle, Jalen Hurts may be a guy that you could pivot to. We don't know exactly his skill set. We have no idea. He's a rookie. It's a risky pickup. But if you're a guy who has Carson Wentz and you need some type of pivot and there's not very good options out there, you may want to pick up Jalen Hurst because you want to make sure that you don't have to, because all the trade deadline's over. You can't trade for anybody anymore. So unless there's like, now this is more probably gravitated toward a two quarterback league, because usually in two quarterback leagues, people are rostering 3 to 4 quarterbacks. So the chance of you getting a starter, say Carson Wentz gets benched, it's going to be limited. So I think Jalen Hurts does deserve to be picked up. Not a pickup that you need to go and get like right away, but something to monitor if it continues to come up where they're talking about giving Jalen Hurts a little bit more snaps and Carson Wentz continues to struggle. And then going on to the running back position. Now, the next few names are going to be if you are an owner of a particular running back. This is the type of player that you need to have as handcuffs. So right now you should have your starting lineup already set. You should know who you're going to play every week going forward. And you may have a couple bench guys here and there just in case you need to pivot because injuries do happen. But you need to start structuring your lineup where you have handcuffs. And the number one guy I have on my list is Alexander Mattison. Now he's 33% owned, so he got dropped from a lot of leagues because Dalvin Cook came back from injury. However, Dalvin Cook got hurt again on Sunday. Now reports came out on Monday saying that he will still be available to play. He should not miss any time. But Dalvin Cook is the one running back that I get nervous about because of the history of injury. So if you're a Dalvin Cook owner, you need to pick up Alexander Mattison. Be smart. Don't chance it, because he's the only guy that's going to give you RB1 upside if Cook goes out with injury for a prolonged period of time. So just something to monitor. Pick him up if it's available in your league. My second guy is Tony Pollard. You know, obviously, you know, Ezekiel Elliott is the workhorse running back for the Dallas Cowboys, but you want Tony Pollard to be there on your roster just in case he goes down. Now he's 21.8% owned, so he's still available in a lot of leagues, but he needs to be picked up just in case you're a Zeke owner. Now, honestly, too, it goes both ways. If you are going against somebody who has Zeke and you want to try to block them from gaining the handcuff, then you should do that as well. You have to play as much defense as you do play offense in fantasy right now, because you're trying to have the most upside to win a fantasy championship. So you got to think that way. And then my last running back that is going to be more of a handcuff is Devontae Booker. We know that Josh Jacobs went down with an injury. We know that he has a chance to play in week 13. However, Josh Jacobs is the type of player that he will bench himself if he doesn't feel healthy to play. So Devontae Booker, if you're a Josh Jacobs owner, you should pick up. He's 7% owned. So he's a guy that, you know, he didn't have a good last couple games, but like I said, if Josh Jacobs goes down, you have a starting running back. So just something to look at. Now going on to some running backs that are not handcuffs, but players that you probably can plug and play based on usage. Cam Akers is here. So Cam Akers finally came out and was the lead back for the Rams on Sunday. Now he's 29% owned. On Sunday, he was 9 for 84 and 1. He had 14.4 PPR points. And he led the backfield in rush attempts for the Rams. So I do think that, you know, the question mark is this the passing of the torch? Is he the guy who is going to now be the starter? They drafted him high. He's a talented running back. Daryl Henderson has not done anything. Malcolm Brown is a situational running back. Do they start giving Cam Akers more of the workload? So I'm wondering now, it's week 12 going to week 13. I'm wondering if this is going to be the case going forward, but I think Cam Akers is a decent pickup. And then next guy is Frank Gore. Now he is 22% owned. And the reason why I'm telling you to pick him up is because it's the workload, right? The Jets have a disgusting offense. They can't do anything on offense, but it's all about opportunity and workload. Now he had 18 carries for 74 yards on Sunday against the Dolphins. He had another 3 catches for 12 yards. He had 11.6 PPR points. Now I know that's not a good stat line. However, if you need a running back and you need somebody to put in your flex or something to give you opportunity and a possibility of a score, you know that Frank Gore is the lead back. They're not going to play anyone else out there for the majority of the time. So Frank Gore is a decent pickup. And then my last running back on this list is Ito Smith. You know, he's 1% owned. And I know last week, Brian Hill was the guy that you should pick up because of Todd Gurley being out. So people went out and picked Brian Hill up and then played him. and you got a dud from him. And Ito Smith is a guy who came out with 17.5 PPR points. You know, he was 12 for 65 on the ground with a touchdown and gave you another four receptions for 10 yards. Now, Brian Hill has burned me. He burned me last year when Devontae Freeman went out. I played Brian Hill and got nothing out of him. So if you guys played Brian Hill this week, you got nothing out of him. And no one was playing Ito Smith. But I go to what's the opportunity, and you have to play, you know, kind of high risk, high reward. And Ito Smith seems a guy. He was a guy for the Falcons on Sunday that did well. So the only question mark is Todd Gurley should be back. So if Todd Gurley is back in week 13, it doesn't really matter, does it? So this is the good thing about waiver wires being picked up on Friday, is that we should have a good idea on the participation for Todd Gurley in practice. So if that's the case, then you don't have to pick up anybody, and because Todd Gurley would be the starter. All right, now going to the wide receiver position. Now, just like every week I've had this guy, the number one wide receiver target is Jalen Reagor. So, you know, he didn't have the breakout game that we're expecting on Monday night. You're trying to get ahead of it if he did, because obviously I've been talking about Jalen Reagor all year. I like Jalen Reagor. He's on my own roster. You know, he's a guy that I feel like when the Eagles talked about him this year that he was going to be the number one wide receiver, I trusted that. And honestly, since he's come back, I mean, no, he's only 25% owned, so he's still out there. And the good thing about it, he has not had a breakout game yet. But I feel like it's going to come. I feel like for some reason, I don't know why, I just feel like this Eagles offense is going to click at some point. We still got enough time here in the fantasy season and the playoffs that Jalen Reagor could become a decent flex play for some people. But on Monday, he was 3 for 11. You know, he had 7 targets, which is good. But since he's returned, the last 4 games, he had 6 targets, 7 targets, 5 targets, and 7 targets. So he's going to get the opportunity. It's a matter of when it happens, where it's going to turn into a score and a big game for him. So it's there. Hopefully it comes. But Jalen Reagor is my number one wide receiver to pick up. My second wide receiver is Rashad Perriman. Now, he's 13% owned. I've talked about him in the last couple of waiver wire shows. He was 4 for 79 on Sunday. He had 11.9 PPR points. Now, I have him and Denzel Mims here. So Denzel Mims is 6% owned. He was 4 for 67 on Sunday as well. But what the good thing about this is that they have a pretty decent next 2 games. So they play Las Vegas and Seattle. So if Seattle plays like they did on Monday night, I feel like that game would be a little bit tougher. But, you know, I do like that Rashad Perriman and Denzel Mims are being thrown to. You know, Denzel Mims, he's been, you know, averaging 8 targets per game in the last 3 games. You know, we've had Rashad Perriman have 3 touchdowns in the last 3 or 4 games. So there's opportunity there. And obviously when it comes to fantasy, it's all about matchup and opportunity. So I think these two guys, even though the Jets offense is abysmal, I still think that they're two guys that you could target if you need to plug and play somebody. My next player is T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton is 42% owned. You know, he just had his best game of the season. Now, is this something that we can, you know, look forward to? Is this something that we can rely on? But he was 4 for 81 in a touchdown. You know, he's had 16 targets in the last 3 games. I know that it's been very hard to have T.Y. Hilton on your team. However, I do think that maybe there's a chance that things could be turned around. So just like I mentioned with Phillip Rivers, they got Houston twice and Las Vegas. Now, Bradley Roby, the corner for the Houston Texans, he's suspended for 6 games for violating the PED policy. I do believe him and Will Fuller were taking the same stuff together. So if that's the case, unfortunately, they got suspended because of that. However, I do think this is good for anybody who's playing the Texans, because he's their one of their main corners and he's going to be out. So I think that allows, you know, people in that division or whoever's playing the Houston Texans to exploit that. So I do think that T.Y. Hilton has an opportunity to have some decent games coming up. So maybe a guy you could consider. And then Kiki QT. Now, just because Will Fuller is now suspended, I think Kiki QT is a guy that could be a possibility to be owned. He's only 1% owned, but with Will Fuller suspended and Randall Cobb on IR, it's all about opportunity. So with that being the case, I think we can pick him up. He's a low-risk add. You know, we can see what it looks like for Deshaun Watson and that Houston Texans offense, if that's going to be a guy that you can pick up. But I do think that he deserves some type of look going forward. And then Buffalo Bills wide receiver Gabriel Davis, he's next on my list. You know, he's 2% owned. John Brown's on IR, and we saw that he had a decent game on Sunday. He was 3 for 79 in a touchdown. Now, the touchdown came from Cole Beasley, not from Josh Allen. However, it's all about opportunity. He had 4 targets. Now, the problem with this is that they have a tough schedule coming up. They have San Francisco, Pittsburgh, and the Denver Broncos. So you're talking about finishing your season and going into the playoffs with a pretty tough matchup. So I really don't know if there's a guy that I'm like going out and trying to grab. I think that's a kind of a wait and see approach, especially if you're in a smaller leagues with smaller roster structures. I don't think he's a guy you can grab. But if you're in a 16 team league and you have massive roster space, I think that you can try, you know, add him to your roster and see what he does. But just a tough matchup, but he definitely deserves, you know, consideration. And then the next, you know, the last two wide receivers is Keelan Cole and Laviska Shenault. Now, Sunday, they didn't really have very big games. I mean, Cole was 3 for 44 with 6 targets, and then Laviska Shenault was 3 for 31 on 4 targets. You know, DJ Chark, he was out, so you're hoping that one of these guys was going to, you know, turn it up on Sunday. It didn't happen, but I do think that these guys are better with DJ Chark on the field. So with Mike Glennon being the quarterback, do we know if Gardner Minshew is coming back? We don't know. But I like these guys a lot better when Gardner Minshew is playing rather than Mike Glennon. So we'll see what happens. But I do think that you should give him a look just in case you need some help at wide receiver, especially based on matchups. And then going to the tight end position, my number one tight end right here is Trey Burton. He is 13% owned. He had a good game on Sunday, probably his best game of the season. He was 3 for 42 and 1. He has 6 targets. You know, like I said, they have a pretty decent schedule coming forward. And I feel like Trey Burton is the number one guy for the tight end position for the Colts. So I do think that he could be a good guy that you could stream. I mean, he's been kind of consistent since he's coming back from injury. So I think that he could be a guy that you look towards as a guy that you can stream, you know, just in case you need some tight end help. My next tight end is Logan Thomas. Now he's 33% owned on Thursday on Thanksgiving. He was 4 for 20 and a touchdown. So good game from him from perspective of tight end positions, but he gets Pittsburgh, San Francisco, and Seattle the next 4 games. The next 3 games. So it's one of those things. It's a high risk, high reward type of thing. He is talented, but do you trust him against Pittsburgh and San Francisco, right? I mean, but he has had 4 games with double digit fantasy points. So that's something you gotta look to. I mean, Alex Smith is the quarterback now. Alex Smith is a, you know, a decent player to look for those type of guys off mismatch and with it being a safety outlet. So I do think that Logan Thomas could have, I don't say he's gonna have any blow up games, but I think that he deserves to be kind of looked at if you need tight end help. And then Dalton Schultz is my third tight end. Now, he's still 26% owned. He was 5 for 24 on 5 targets. So I think that he's a guy that Andy Dalton will go to. I think we saw on Thanksgiving that he is a guy that will spread the ball around. So I think he may not give you huge numbers, but it's all about opportunity. So I do think that Dalton Schultz is a guy that you could try to play. Now, going with that, I mean, out of the last 8 out of 11 games, he has 5 or more targets. So that's what I was talking about. Like, you want to make sure that you have a guy that you could at least see the opportunity, see that the target share is there. And for him to have 5 or more targets in 8 out of 11 games, that's encouraging. So hopefully that continues. But Dalton Schultz is a guy that I'm looking at. And then my last tight end on this list is Jordan Aiken. So he's 4.5% owned. Now, he had a good game against the Patriots a couple weeks ago. He gave you nothing on Thanksgiving. It was an awful game. However, he did miss 2 touchdowns in the sense of the ball was overthrown. So that could look a lot different, you know, this week. But it wasn't, which could be a good thing. Now, the reason why I have Jordan Aikens on this list is because with the suspension to Will Fuller, I think Aikens sees an increase in target share. It has to go somewhere, right? You know, we know that now Brandon Cooks is going to be the main guy. Brandon Cooks will be the main guy. Kiki QT could be the number 2. But I feel like Jordan Aikens, this might be the opportunity where he actually does some really good fancy, you know, stats for the next few games. So something to look at, you know, if you're really looking for a high risk, high reward type of tight end. You know, a lot of people probably played him this past week and got nothing out of him. But I do want to see exactly how this offense looks without Will Fuller. Now, this offense could be a complete dud. We have no idea. But I do think that because he plays tight end, I think this could be Deshaun Watson's safety outlet. So he may have some more opportunity coming forward. So those are all my players that I would consider picking up for week 13. Now, when it comes to all the defensive streamers, I got 3 teams on this list. And I'm going to start with the Raiders. They play the Jets. So anytime anybody's playing the Jets, you want to play that defense. So Raiders is that team. The Dolphins against the Bengals, another streaming option. And then we have the Seahawks versus the Giants. The Giants are going to probably have to play Colt McCoy. Looks like Daniel Jones' hamstring injury will keep him out for at least this week. So if that's the case, I think the Giants could be a good streamer option. And honestly, to go back to kind of making sure your roster structure is becoming something that you have handcuffs, you have to think ahead. Look at what defenses are available in your league and make sure you're looking at who they play, because you want to make sure you're picking up the matchups before anyone else does. It's okay to roster about two defenses now. You want to see who has the best matchups and pick up those defenses, because it is one of those things where it will give you an advantage if you have those defenses. So, I mean, you know, I was able to pick up the Rams defense, and it was only because they played the Jets in week 15. I have a bye week in my fantasy league. So I looked a couple weeks ago who I wanted, and the Rams were on there on the waiver wire. So I picked them up. You have to think that way. You have to think weeks in advance now. You have to think about, okay, I made the playoffs. How can I structure my team to be better going forward and to keep someone else from streaming that defense that has a better matchup? So pay attention to that. Also pay attention to any players that were dropped, because if there's better players that are dropped, pick those guys up before anybody on this list. But just something you have to think about. But that's it for today. That's all of my top waiver wire pickups for week 13. If you like to follow us on social media, you can find us over on Twitter and Facebook at the Gridiron Pod. We're on Instagram at Gridiron Fantasy Football. And on next episode, so on Friday, I will be going over all the week 13 matchups. We do not have a Thursday night football game, so I won't be doing a preview game for that or a preview video for that. But however, I'll go through all the matchups for week 13, all my starts and sits. That should be coming out on Friday. So if you have any questions, please leave a comment below in the comment section. Or you can email me at chip@gridironfantasyfootball.com. But hopefully we got one more game left for this week. Hopefully we got the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Ravens. I still have not secured a win yet this week. I'm still waiting to see Big Ben and Chase Claypool play. I'm down by like 6 or 7 points. So hopefully I will get that and get my win. But hopefully you guys will be able to win. Let me know if there's any players that you're playing on Wednesday night. Just leave that comment below and don't forget to hit subscribe. And with that being the case, have a great day, and we'll see you on the next episode. Take care.